praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I hope that every one of you are set to just worship and just give God your praises. Amen. I want you to know that not only should we look for this opportunity to come together in fellowship and worship God, but I want you to understand that God looks for this opportunity. I want you to know that He's the one who established the desire for us to assemble together. You know, I like to remind us from time to time that the whole reason why Moses wanted to take people out of Israel was to get out of the oppression, but his number one goal, he even told Pharaoh, was, hey, we have got to leave this land and come into a place where we can worship God. And I want you to know that that's why he refused to leave anything of their lives left over in Egypt, because when we come out of the world, we should give everything to God. Amen? And that we should be prepared to serve him and worship him. And I thank God that as much as you were eager to come to church today, and I believe you were, that there was one who was much more excited about you being here than yourself, and that's God himself. Amen? So let's just worship God today. Let's embrace him. Let's just go before him and just open up our hearts, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? And I want you to know that when his presence comes, things change. You're going to be refreshed today. You're going to be strengthened today. And you're going to know that God is with you. Amen? So we love you guys. I'm excited to be here. We're still excited about being back from vacation. And let's just step into his goodness. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen. Stand your feet with us this morning.
Hallelujah. Go back. Jesus, I need you, me,
on this morning, he said to speak to those dry bones. Whatever the dry bones are in your life or in your family or those around you, he said to speak to those dry bones this morning. He's given you authority by the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Speak to the dry bones. Let them awake this morning. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. The dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Oh, Lord, we speak Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, we declare Jesus over every situation. I speak Jesus over every area of depression. I speak Jesus to every sick body this morning. I speak Jesus to every broken marriage. I speak Jesus this morning and to every desolate, dry place today. Jesus, we just say, Jesus, we thank you for the breakthrough. We thank you for dry bones awakening this morning, for the dead to rise and live again. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are.
What he's saying is, you're crying out for me, and I'm here. You need help in situations, and I'm here. But pursuit of me means that you're opening my word that I gave you that has every answer you ever need in it. Pursuit means that you're down on your knees, and you're calling out, and you're having a talk with me, and you're communing with me. Pursuit means that you're giving up food, and you're fasting. And you're seeking after the things of me. I have so much more for you that if you press in with your pursuit, if you just continue and press in deeper with your pursuit, I will overtake everything. I will overtake everything. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now that you make us desperate for you, that we have a spirit that is so desperate for you, we can't go a day, we can't go a minute without saying thank you, Lord, without us thinking about you, without us trying to tell somebody about you. Lord God, let us be desperate for your presence, desperate for your word, desperate to spend time with you. Father God, it's not enough to want to, because some people want to and have good intentions, but then we allow the day to take over. Father, let a desperation hit us so that we can't allow a day to take over. But our pursuit of you is bigger than our pursuit of anything, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just want you. We just want you. Lord, we just put ourselves before you today. Come, move, change, break free the bondages that are here, Lord. Remove blinders that don't allow us to see you clearly. Father, remove selfish desires to want to hold on to things of the world, where we don't break into the things of the kingdom more because we're too busy holding on to what's behind us. Break it. Break it. Release our hold, Lord God. Break the chains off of us. Father, I bind fear right now. Fear that causes people to stay where they're at because they don't understand who they would be if they ever let go of who they were right now. I bind it and I break it in Jesus' name, and I speak freedom into them. Because Lord, if they just step into who you've made them, they're going to wonder why they ever waited so long to fully embrace who you are and what you have. Let go. Help them let go of yesterday, Lord God. Freedom and refreshing and healing. Right now, we bind any demonic force that would try to cause distraction in anybody right now, Lord God. We call it to go in the name of Jesus. This is your house. This is your atmosphere. These are your people. Father, I think freedom is in here. You're walking. You're moving on behalf of your people. And Father, we just, if you were in the, just raise your hands. Listen, use your words, not my words. But Lord, I thank you. I receive what you're doing right now. I receive healing. I receive freedom. I receive the deepness of who you are, the desire to seek you more, Lord God. I thank you for giving me a hunger like never before. I thank you for making me desperate for you, Father. Father, I just thank you.
Self-esteem, not wondering who doesn't like me or who likes me, not wondering about am I good enough, because Lord, you said I'm good enough because I'm yours. We break all of that right now in Jesus' name. It's time for the church to stop living under the lies of the devil. It's time for the church to rise up and know who you are. Walk in the freedom that he gave you. Quit thinking you are less than. You are a child of the living God. Father, I thank you that if we leave nothing, we leave with that. And it just encourages and moves on us to do something for you, Father. Hallelujah. What are you doing? Get up here.
Oh.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
I'm just enjoying the worship time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Not again. Not again. Not again. Listen, amen. Not again. Don't leave here and allow him to put something else back on you that you just sat here and became free of again.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
The thought comes to your mind, you throw it out.
Amen.
Dismiss the thought and say, no, the Lord says that I'm this, that I can have this, that I do this, that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Don't allow the voice of the enemy to take you back somewhere where he just released you from, where the Lord just released you from.
Amen. Amen.
Not again.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right. You're good. Hallelujah. I was just down there enjoying the presence of the King. I want you to know that there are some times where just the presence of God sits in on us. You know, and I was just looking around this morning and I just felt God's presence ministering to people, touching people, doing things, changing, setting free, redeeming, refreshing, restoring. And I'm telling you that it was happening right there in worship, and it was a powerful moment. I was enjoying every bit of it because God is on the move. Amen?
Amen.
And I love that because those are the moments that we really can't just create by ourselves. But when we come together, God comes in the midst of this, and there's just things that he does.
And I want to say one thing. I hear this in my spirit. It may be live stream. It may be somebody in this place. You don't know the things that I have done. God can't forgive me. I just heard that. Yes, he already has.
Amen. Praise
the name. He already has forgiven you.
Of the Lord.
There's nothing that you've done that's not surprised him. It's not taking him off guard. He knows it all. Now, he didn't want us to do those things, but he sent Jesus, his son, anyway, because he loves you.
Amen.
Listen, I've done some horrible things in my life, too, that I'm not proud of, things that have happened to me, but God loved me enough to send Jesus for me, and God loves you enough to send Jesus for you. Nothing that you've done eliminates you from being able to get into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ, his son. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we would go through this church and everybody would, and we're not going to do it. Don't worry. I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness, she's not. No, I'm not. But I'm just telling you, if we went through this service and we had people talk about the worst sin, the worst thing that's happened to them or they've done in their life, you'd be shocked that we're standing in the church, because if you look at it through natural eyes, through man's eyes, you would say, that's not possible. But thank the Lord, you get a look through God's eyes, and we are standing here, and we're saying that's possible. Now, I'm not asking you to say it, but for sake of the person that thinks this, if you've done something that you thought at one time was so unconscionable, that how can I be sitting in the presence of God? Please raise your hand so they can. Don't say it.
Amen.
You better raise your hand.
I knew I was going to get hired.
Listen, you're not alone.
Amen.
And if he saved us.
Amen. Praise God.
I promise
God.
You.
Hallelujah.
That he loves
Amen.
You and Amen. His salvation is
Praise
for
God.
You.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Give the Lord a. Yeah, I felt that. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You know, we're going to do a new standard. I haven't talked to Linda yet. But I don't think that we should come in here and have to be told to stand to worship the Lord. I think that when you're getting ready, when you're going about your week, that you should be worshiping and praising, and you can't wait to get in here, and you can't wait to stand to your feet, jump to your feet and
Amen.
Worship the Lord. So from now on, we're not going to tell you to stand to your feet. I expect as soon as it's time to see everybody jump into their feet and say, God, I
Amen.
Can't wait to praise you.
Amen.
I can't wait
Lord.
To give
Hallelujah.
You what I've got today for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. How Amen. Many of you think that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's what we're going to do. I want to come in prepared, ready to give God everything we've got. And you know what? You might be sitting next to somebody who needs to see you ready.
Amen.
And they're going to feed off of your ready.
Amen.
That spirit in you is going to jump over on them. Amen? Phil's jumps on me sometimes, and it's like that talky, happy spirit.
Yeah, amen.
I'm like, leave me alone.
Praise God.
That corny, the corny one never gets me much, thank the Lord.
I think it should get you a little more often. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. I guess it does in here, but, you know.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so what we got? Let me, yeah. Okay. I feel like I've done too much. I feel like I've been talking too much.
Pick one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo.
We're going to have Easter sunrise service at 7 o'clock. Amen. So, and then in between, amen.
Amen.
It's time to celebrate
yep,
the resurrection
absolutely.
Of our God.
Yep, yep, yep.
Amen.
Does that mean we're going to have some snacks
yes.
in between?
Woo, we're going to have Panera God. Like we usually, like Hallelujah. We've had in the past.
Amen.
Yep, we're going to have
Amen.
Panera out there waiting on you Amen. In between services. So if you come first service, you'll have a snack. And if you come early, yep. you'll have a snack for second yep. service. Our second service yep. will be normal, like 10 o'clock.
At
Amen.
10 o'clock. And for this year at our Easter service at 10 o'clock, I want you to write down, and you don't have to put names on them, but I want you to write down either what you're believing God for or what you're definitely going to cut off from your future and not let it weigh you down anymore.
Amen.
There's just people that need to just cut ties with the past once and for all. Cut ties with the way you think about yourself once and for all. And there's some of you that are believing God for miraculous things. And on Sunday, we're going to have on Easter Sunday morning, we're going to have a cross. And I'm telling you, it's going to be time to bring things to the feet of the Lord. And so I just want you to start thinking now and praying about it, because I'm telling you that that Sunday morning is going to be a supernatural transforming moment. There's just some seasons that God's going to break off of you. And there's some things from your past that you're just going to quit identifying yourself with. You know, I had a friend of mine, and one time he just got me frustrated because it had been 26 years since he hadn't taken a drink, and he was still calling himself an alcoholic. And I know what they teach in all those addiction classes, and I'm not opposed to it, but I'm just telling you, at some point, you got to shake off the history of what the Lord has separated you from and just stop it. I told him, I said, buddy, I said, you are not no longer an alcoholic. You're a child of God. You ain't touched that stuff in 26 years. You have been free in the Lord longer than you were an alcoholic. Stop it. And I'm just telling you that you better get ready, because Easter Sunday is one of those Sunday mornings. It's just the time where God has put it in my spirit. I'm going to be reminding you. I don't even post on Facebook, but I'm probably going to make Regina go on our Facebook page and her Facebook page, and maybe I might put mine alive. I don't know, but I'm just going to be
alive.
Reminding you.
Just don't
you.
Look at it.
I'm going to be reminding you that Easter Sunday, we're just going to shake some things off and separate ourselves as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And also, we're going to spring forth and come to life in a way that God wants us to come to life. Amen. So we're just, that's our Easter Sunday that we're going to do. So Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap
Amen.
Of praise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
So then I want you to know that we had a tremendous, man, it was super exciting and wonderful. Praise God. New members class yesterday.
Okay. I don't even know what he's going to say.
Honey, every moment with you is
it's
super
scary
exciting
when you start
and wonderful.
Doing that.
But anyhow, we had a super good.
Amen.
So next month, we're going to have another new members class, and it's going to be April 17th, which is on a Saturday. So we'll get that out there. And then coming up in the month of May, evangelist Mark Dunphy is going to be here, and he's super excited about that. And we are super excited about
Amen.
That. It's going to be a great time. And the guys from North Carolina that was here with you last Sunday, they were just telling me, they said, man, Amen. It's awesome that you guys are where you're at, but we just sense God doing more things for you. Amen?
Amen.
So all of you get ready, because God is going to bring some things to pass. Amen?
Yes.
All right. Is that all our announcements
I believe
for today?
So.
Okay, very good. Well, then I better let Pastor Jared and this crew all get going. Amen? Praise God. Boy, look, they're just ready to get after it. I think it's because they have snacks back there. I always miss out on those snacks. But anyhow, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to share something with you, and I touch on this at least once or twice a year. I try to, because I think it's very good for us as Christians to understand this kind of thing. You know, if we're not careful, we get to the point where we can categorize our life, and we don't intentionally do it, but sometimes if we're not careful, we will have things going on in our life where they're not really governed by the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm telling you that everything we're involved in ought to be governed by the Lord. So I'm going to take a few minutes here while we're taking up tithe and offering just to share a little bit of what I said at the opener of service. And it was that Moses had an approach with Pharaoh where he was defining not just himself and not just the children of Israel for that generation and that season of how they should approach their life. Really, he was putting out some guidelines that all of us should follow. And right here in the book of Exodus, it says that in verse Exodus 10, 24, Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." I think it's interesting because Pharaoh represents a type of the world, or even in this case, we could look at him as a messenger of Satan in the aspect that he said, okay, I understand that you want to straighten out your life and all that, and you're going to have this relationship with God, but the things of this world, your money, your entertainment, your things that bring your feelings pleasure, those things I want you to leave here in Egypt. He said, please, you guys can go, but your flocks and your herds, the things that are related to your provision, the things that I know you need and the things that I know you're going to need to come back to, I want you to keep those things here in Egypt. Why? Because Pharaoh could have had strings attached to them. I guarantee you, he would have came back and said, oh, no, your flocks have been here and I've been feeding them, so now if you want some beef or something, you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to stay here and serve me. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that even though you are a child of the living God, if you're not careful, the Bible says that don't allow your members to go astray, because it says who your members serve is a reflection of where you're at. And the devil wants you to have things in your life that are open up to his ability. So Moses said, Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also will go with us. Now listen to this. I want you to hear this. Think about this. Thousands of cattle and hundreds and thousands of hooves. And Moses makes this statement. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. I want you to know that the Bible says that where your treasure is, there's your heart. And I want you to know that for me, there's times where I just re-examine myself, even though I'm certain that my motives are right and I'm serving God, but sometimes I will re-examine myself to make sure I'm not aligned with anything that would not be acceptable to God. And whenever I think about this scripture, I can't afford to let one hoof be in Egypt. I want you to know that, you know, give your tithe, give your offerings, do that kind of stuff. But beyond that, let's make sure that we're not aligning ourselves with things that would not be pleasing to God. Not one hoof should remain in Egypt. I'm telling you that there's not room for certain activities for your money to be spent on. There should be things that you can sit there and say, hey, I did that before I was saved, but now as a Christian, I would never be involved with this, this, and this. And there should be things that we make sure that we're not partaking in, because I'm telling you, the enemy wants a door whereby he can pull you back. And I promise you that if they had left their cattle in Egypt, when they went back, there'd be strings attached. You know, I'm telling you, people that get addicted to things like pornography and other stuff, I'm telling you, they don't start by digging way in deep. They just start with a little bit, but before you know, they're attached to things that take control. And I'm just telling you, protect yourself, and just be blessed. You know, this one time when Regina and I first started tithing, it was so amazing because I told you that we were so broke. At times, I didn't eat on Thursday until we got paid on Friday. And we just had a tight budget, and I would do that kind of stuff. And this one time, I can remember the first time we had $40 left over in our bank account on a Thursday heading into Friday. I said, Lord, tithing is really helping, and oh, it's such a blessing too. And oh, God, I'm so glad that we're tithing now. It's made all the difference. And he said, yeah, you quit spending money on alcohol too. Praise the Lord. I mean, he just smacked me right in the eye and let me know, yes, it is the tithing and it's the giving, but it's also I don't waste money on things that are not going to be proactive in helping me take care of things. I want you to know, one time I went and had to dig a man out of a hotel that was contemplating suicide, and he said, well, what do I have to do to know this God that you serve? And I said, well, one thing is you could give up that nasty rolling rock. And all this money you're wasting, you could take home and bless your wife and your children, and it'll take pressure off of you. Do you remember that, babe? Yeah, but I was saying obviously I was telling him that obviously it's the pursuit of God, but I was just making a point to him. One thing that happens is sometimes we're involved in things that once we start releasing those things out of our life, they're part of the path of finding God. Amen? So today, let's make sure that we don't have one hoof in the kingdom of darkness. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare your goodness and your greatness, Father. And Lord, I just pray that we would examine ourselves, God. Father, that we would close doors and make sure that there's no avenues in our life that are not centered and founded in you, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that right now in Jesus' name, that we would just be looking and thanking you, God, that you are releasing us, redeeming us, and God, that we're letting go of things that would represent roots in the kingdom of darkness or roots in the world that you would not want us to have, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your offerings and your tithes to the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God is good, isn't he? And amen, amen. You know, there are certain times, and certainly this is a time for it, that I believe that there are times where we talk about the Bible and we talk about absolutes and things that are just so sacred in the Word of God that we just cannot move or have any flexibility related to those issues. Amen. One of them, as we're getting ready to celebrate, we always celebrate the birth of Christ, but then we also celebrate the resurrection, amen? And we're coming into that time where we're going to celebrate the resurrection. And last week, we started talking about some things, and I want to stir that again because we started in Habakkuk chapter 2, and in verse 2, it says, "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I want you to know that the Bible says that we know that by faith the worlds were structured. And I want you to understand that when God speaks, it is going to come to pass. And when we talk about an appointed time, I want you to know that it means something that is scheduled, prearranged, something that has already been decided and is determined. It's designated, it's set, it's fixed, it's chosen, it's established. And I want you to understand something, that there are things that just become carved, so it were, as in concrete. And I want you to understand that that's how it is with God's word. I want you to know that the Lord is fulfilling promises that he made at the beginning of humanity. Amen? And we're just going to look at some things, because I want you to understand that throughout your life as an individual, there are set and appointed times. But I also want you to know that for all of humanity and all of mankind, there are set and appointed times where the world may go any direction it wants to, but eventually God's appointed time is going to prevail no matter what. And I like to mention Jesus when we're talking about these things, because he is one of the most verified times where God has appointed some things, and without shaking and without fail, they could not change. Do you remember, I don't know if you know this, but if you read the Bible, you will understand that the king at the time of Jesus' birth wasn't celebrating it. In fact, what he did was he put a mandate out once he knew that Jesus was born, and he said any child born to the Jews and Hebrews or joined to the Israelites under this age must be put to death. Why? Because he was terrified about the Lord. But here's what God did. When Jesus was born, he had a light so bright that it could not be denied. When Jesus was born, he sent wise men around him, the Lord did, and he let him be celebrated and known. And even though he announced this holy but yet child that was not able to protect himself, Satan put a plan together to try to kill Jesus before he could ever get to the cross, and it just did not matter. All of the kingdom of darkness could not touch Jesus no matter what, because I want you to know that for Jesus, there were some appointed times where the devil could not touch him. So therefore, you should know there are appointed times where you are not going to be shaken no matter what comes your way. Amen? And so I want you to get stirred. That's why we're going to set that date around Easter time and just put some things before God and not move on them. Write the vision and make it plain. I'm telling you that if there are things that you need help with and there's things that you are believing God for, I'm telling you it's time for you to write those things down and put them before God and invite him in, and without fail, don't give up, don't back up, don't stop, don't change your mind. Understand that God is with you. All you have to do is be willing to endure to the end. All you have to do is stay the course. The Bible just said that in your eyes, the vision may tarry and it might not come as fast as you want it to, but without fail, it's going to come to pass. At the appointed time, God is going to touch your situation and he's going to change it. You know, it's so amazing, because I don't know how she digs into my messages and touches my stuff, but earlier Pastor Regina said that God needs you to be in pursuit. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That first he says, you must know who he is. Amen. So I want you to understand something, that if you're going to see appointed times in your life, and we are, one thing that has to happen is you have to be in pursuit of God. You have to be pursuing him. You have to be in relationship with him. The Lord says, for those who will abide in me, I will abide in them and make my habitation and my home with them, and the world can't even see it. I want you to understand something, that you are not going to see God without your efforts to pursue him. And then I want you to know something, that when we are in pursuit of God and when we are in relationship with God, then the next step is we're going to be hearing God. Amen? And when we start hearing God by faith and we start walking in that, then we become obedient to God. And when we become obedient to God, we are going to see victory. Amen? Now, I want to go back into the Old Testament just for a minute, because I love some of these supernatural stories that declare the goodness of God and the greatness of God and reveal how he can intervene in humanity's life if we'll just seek him. Last week, we looked at the walls of Jericho, amen? And those walls came down like no walls ever came down before. And we mentioned just for a minute with Pastor Billy that the Lord released hailstones from heaven, right? Amen. So today we're going to just look a little bit about that, because I like to read these things in Scripture that are supernatural. I hope when you hear these stories, especially for the first time, that they just blow your mind. I hope that they make you think, can this really happen? Did this really happen? Because I tell you what, these things are wonders. These things are amazing. These things should happen in a way that make you say, wow. And so we're just going to look for a minute, and I want you to know that in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, I'm going to get you caught up on this, but there is a group of people in a city called Gibeon that Joshua and the people of Israel have made a covenant with, that they would help them and protect them and be with them. And I want you to know that other cities and other towns around them heard that Gibeon had this covenant. And they were already afraid of God's people, because Joshua not only defeated Jericho, but then he defeated Ai. And these people were like saying, wow, this Gibeon is a place that's even greater than them. And if Joshua and his people are with them, then we're going to have to go to war with them, because they will rise up against us. So these guys are all worked up and they're going to war. And Gibeon reaches out to Joshua, and it says this in Joshua chapter 10, verse 6. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. You know, I promise you that when you come up against battles, whether it's battles in your relationships, your finances, whether it's battles in your health, it does not matter how severe those battles are. I want you to have a confidence that God is speaking to you, fear not. God is speaking to you, if you will keep your heart open to it, that he will join in what you got going on, and he will restore the greatness of it. I'm telling you, God can touch relationships and make them better in their tomorrow than they were in their past, no matter how good they've been. God can touch your finances and fix issues, even if you got yourself in the bankruptcy. God can touch you and can touch your health in a way that you will feel better in your older years sometimes than you did in your younger. You just have to know the covenants of God and what he says in Psalms 103. The Lord says, don't you dare forget my benefits. Not only have I forgiven your transgressions, but I will take away all your diseases and your sicknesses. He says, and I will renew your health. I will renew your youth. And sometimes we need to make sure that we grab a hold of these supernatural moments. And I want you to just take a journey with me and think about how amazing this is. That when the Lord said, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee." I want you to know something, that when God starts speaking to you about how he's going to help you in life, I want you to know right away, you are not on your own power. Amen. You are not on your own strength. God is not going to keep it fair. He's not going to allow the enemy to have more power than you. God is not going to allow your situation to be stronger than you. You just keep seeking him until he opens up the wisdom you need for your situation. Because when God tells you to have no fear, it automatically means that you are not fighting your battle on your own, but God is actually fighting with you and for you. Amen? Amen. And we're going to see that God is declaring that to us right here, because it says that Joshua and his people went. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly. Whew. You know, I love it when people in the Bible show us how we should move when God is with us. Don't be hesitating. Be sudden. Make up your mind. Nope, this is what God says. This is what I'm believing. Hey, you might be believing to be healed and wake up the second day feeling worse than you did the first day. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stand right in there and reach towards God. You know, I can think of a very precious couple to me one day. I reached out and said, "Hey, how are you doing and how's it going?" And I was expecting to hear that their situation was getting better, but actually it was getting worse. But they called me back and said, "Pastor, we need you to pray because this and this is going on." But guess what? I didn't waver. I just knew, okay, they're calling me. We're joining together. And guess what? God did what God does. He turns it around. Listen, there are some times where you need to know that you might sit there and say, "Man, I'm going to stop doing this or doing this." And the next day you have the worst day in your life. Instead of getting better, it gets tougher. And you find yourself having the urge to do what you were trying not to do. I'm telling you right now, don't give up. Press into God, because Joshua said, "They came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night." It wasn't evil. It says it wasn't easy. It says that they were all night. "And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Bethron and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethron that the Lord," wow, "cast down great stones from heaven unto them, unto Azekah, and they died." Now listen to this. "There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword." I mean, come on. Sometimes you need to understand something, that even when you're fasting and praying and you are putting effort into your victory, don't you ever get that victory and think you did more than God did in it. Because these guys were whipping these guys, but we just heard that it said the Lord killed more with hailstones than anybody they laid hands on. See, I love that, because sometimes you think that weapons and humanity are so smart in what they created, but first of all, we couldn't create anything if the wisdom wasn't released from God to create it. But even when we do create something, I want you to know something, there's a supernatural measure in the kingdom that's much greater. Man, I'm telling you, one day we're going to see what God can really do. We're going to see what God can really do and what God really does. Now, I want you to see this too. This is powerful. "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said unto the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Wow. How would you like the Lord to stay your day an extra 24 hours just so you could whip your enemies? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. Stop that. I just saw some of you have a vision saying, Lord, don't just uphold the day, but strengthen me that I don't get tired while I wear them out. Woo! And I think that it's so funny because we don't think about this kind of stuff, but think about it. They had been in a battle all day. They had traveled all night. They were fighting all day long. And I want you to know something, that when Joshua said, Lord, uphold this day, keep the light on. We got our enemy right where we need him. Sometimes you need to say, Lord, keep the light on Satan because I have him on the run. Amen. Just keep the light on and let me finish this thing. And I want you to know something, that what's so powerful about this is sometimes we probably don't think about this, but I want to bring a little science into this revelation just for a moment. Can you imagine that these guys went all this time with no rest, no sleep? And I want you to know something, that when he asked them to uphold the day for that whole day, Joshua had an unfair advantage because I'm telling you right now, the other side was feeling the physical depletion. But Joshua and that group had the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon them. Whew! I got to tell you, this one time I did this real strange thing, and I'm not telling you to do it unless the Lord helps you. One time, hey, I know often I do it, but anyhow, this was years ago when I was first learning about fasting and praying, and I had stayed up all night praying and fasting, and all of a sudden my alarm clock went off, and I had to get ready to go to work, and I realized I had been up all night, and it was a Tuesday night, so we had the next day, Wednesday, we had Wednesday night church service, and I went to work, and I said, Lord, I got to make sure that I'm not out of balance and that this isn't something stupid I'm doing. So I'm not drinking coffee today. And if I get tired and worn out, I'm never going to do this again because I'll know I'm just being carnal and fleshy. And I don't want to do that. And so the next thing I know, I'm going through my day and I've drank no coffee. And a friend of mine said, hey, I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee. And I said, great. And I grabbed that cup of coffee and right away I went, oh, I can't drink this. And this guy wasn't saved. He was being nice. So I knew there was no explaining to him why I couldn't drink it. So I just said, hey, thank you, my friend. Thank you. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And about that time, someone walked around the corner to the coffee machine. And I said, hey, I think I got a coffee just the way you like it. And they said, hey, that is. And they walked off with it. Thank goodness. I didn't have to explain a thing. So then I worked my whole day, wasn't tired. And I was coming home, going to church. And I said, okay, God, I've worked all day, long hours, and now I'm going to church. I said, I sit right down front. If I fall asleep on Pastor Dosik and he has to yell at me, it's not going to be good, and I'm going to know that this wasn't you. I got to tell you something. Worship was electrifying, man. And before I knew it, I sat down in my seat, had been up all that time, and I didn't doze off one time. So then, what was really even more weird was then I had to drive home. And we lived a long way from the church at that time. And I said, okay, Lord, I got to drive, make this drive. If I fall asleep, God, I'm going to know. And I tell you what, I drove home not tired at all. I was like, whew, no coffee, no nothing all this time. It's been a good day. I got to tell you, as soon as I hit them steps and started walking in the house, that lifted off of me. I was so tired, I could barely find the bed. As soon as I hit the bed, buddy, I was gone. Amen? But God was showing me. Do we ever humble ourselves enough to believe that God can really strengthen us? See, if you have to work extra hours, I want you to think about this. God knew the job you had and your hour schedule before you ever stepped into it. Why don't you take care of your unfair advantage and say, God, this overtime is going to bless my home. I'm going to be able to tithe more, pay bills more. I might buy my wife a gift or go on a little trip or do something. And because you've blessed me with it, God, if you're going to cause me to work 10 or 12 hours, I'm not working on my own strength. I want you to strengthen me. And I tell you what, some stress will come off of you. Some health will restore to you. Your sleep will get better. I double dog dare you to take the challenge. And if it doesn't work, we can discuss it, but I promise you that if you start asking God to strengthen you during stressful times, before you know it, just like he dropped hailstones from heaven and just like he upheld the day for Joshua, he will uphold you in the middle of your situation. Amen? Woo. Why am I talking about this stuff? Because I want you to understand just how supernatural it is of what God has done for us. I don't want you to take it lightly that God chose years ago in his heart of love to redeem humanity no matter what we've been through. Amen? I want you to understand that even though the Lord never planned for us to sin and God never planned for what happened in the garden to happen, I want you to know that God's love and commitment for us is so great that for humanity, he has always went beyond the rules on our behalf. I mean, I'm telling you, the devil was thinking, it's not fair to you to change the hours in a day. It's not fair for you to use hailstones from heaven. I thought I was the prince and the power of the air. I thought I was the one that could create havoc with storms and stuff. I'm the prince and the power of the air. Shut up. The Lord wants you to know that any time in your life, he will stop a storm. He will stop the floodgates. He will turn stuff around. He will heal you of issues of blood. He will take your life and bless you. He will create fish and bread into more than it was ever meant to be. If he needs to do something on your behalf, it is time for you, church, to start standing up and recognizing that you are not a part of this world. You have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, it shouldn't be fair when you get an advantage. It should be favor when you get an advantage. It is time for us to step up and stop expecting to get the same thing as the world gets. It's time for us to understand that no matter what I'm going through, I should be walking in the grace and the blessing of God. I don't care if your company is closing down. You shouldn't be mourning and depressed. You should see, Lord, I thank you that you're opening a door, and what do you have for me to do next? Yeah. Woo! I'm telling you, it is time for us to step our game up. See, I want you to know that one thing that concerns me in this woke culture that we have right now is people are looking for this way and this way to address racism and this way and this way to address all these things. And I'll tell you what, especially here recently, the Lord has been telling me, Philip, stop it. I don't need some kind of new plan. I don't need no woke agenda. The thing that's going to redeem people and make them no longer be racist is the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that's going to change something. You know, I was reading a news article the other day, and this guy was sitting there saying, oh, I just apologize for what I didn't know, and I just apologize. Just forgive me for what I haven't known, and I'm going to do better, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to learn more. And I said, oh, shut up and quit your fake media news points and get on your knees and let the Lord redeem your heart. And I tell you what, racism, hate, mistreatment of people will leave your soul, because only the Lord can redeem somebody and not have them have those things going on. All the natural learning in the world won't change something. There's some things that would have never changed in me until Jesus just redeemed me through the blood, and desires left me and things begin to change. And I thought, wow, I no longer think that way or act that way. Oh, see now, I'm out here, aren't I? But I'm out here where we belong. Stop it. I'll tell you what, Jesus was the answer in the beginning of humanity. Jesus is going to be the answer during our time, and Jesus will be the answer for the future. Woo! Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that the Bible says this about the Lord. And I want to go in here right here in the 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." And that means be reverent. Make sure that you live this life not according to what man thinks or what man's idea is. Make sure that you are living this life according to the revelation and understanding that God reveals to you in His Word. Amen? "For so as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you." I want you to understand something. Jesus was always God's ultimate plan. Come on now. Jesus wasn't a substitute. Jesus wasn't something that God came up with after. I want you to understand something, that the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb for humanity before the foundations of the world. I want you to know something. Before breath was breathed into Adam, God already said, "If man needs a rescue plan, I got it." God already said it in his heart that there was going to be a day where he was going to redeem, where he was going to strengthen, where he was going to take us to the next level. And I want you to understand something here, that the Bible even says that the timing of the Lord's coming, his appointed time, was manifested in these last times for you. Wow. God had you in mind when Christ went to the cross. Well, how does that work? I'm going to show you how that works. Look, I want to take you over to Matthew chapter 27 just real quick, and I want to share something with you, because in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, it says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Now, this is Jesus on the cross. Remember, he made a couple statements that are just profound. His first statement was, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Another statement Jesus made when he was going to the cross that we will look at later is he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I promise you that every one of us need to make sure that we are saying those types of things. But here's what's so powerful. It says that he yielded up the ghost, or his spirit left his body, and so he died. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." I want you to know something, that when Jesus' spirit left his body, it was no small thing. It wasn't a quiet thing. I want you to know something, that it says that rocks rent. That means that mountains and rocks shook and quaked and fell apart. It said that the earth quaked like an earthquake. Rocks ripped in half. There was popping. There was loud noise. I want you to know that the light went dark and it became dim, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. I want you to know something, that when Jesus went to the cross, the Davids and the Abrahams and the Ruths and the Rahabs and the people who had died before his salvation had come to the earth in the physical, I want you to know that they popped up and let everybody know, "Woo, it was worth it, amen? I died in faith and now I'm reaping the benefits." And I'm telling you that it was a shaking moment. It was an appointed time. It was something that caused people to stand up so much that it says this. "They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Man, what a moment to know that you had supported the idea of putting Jesus to the cross And with a millisecond of time, you understood, oh my goodness, I physically touched the Son of God. Amen? I want you to know something. That moments like this make me think about the goodness of God. See, moments like this make me want to encourage you to understand that you have yet not done anything that's worthy of separating you from the love of God, from the grace of God, and from the redemption of God. I mean, Jesus was willing to forgive those who was physically there beating on him, spitting on him, and declaring who he was. Would you be bold enough to take a swipe at Jesus? Then right now I'm telling you, be bold enough to come into his mercy. Because I want you to know that there are appointed times where God says something to humanity that should speak to them. Right here, I'm telling you that God is letting us know by his decision, not by man's, but it's by his decision that his grace and his mercy is enough for all of us. Amen? And I just want to share one other little thing with you today, and it's in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. It says in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I want you to know something. If God can send hailstones from heaven, if God can uphold the day, if the Lord at the appointed time could let a baby be born that even though a king was releasing armies and killing thousands of babies to try to get to, yet he remained untouched. If he can do all that, and if he lets us know that even before he created the earth, he released Jesus to be our Savior, if he has profoundly done that, who are we to not receive the redemption he's given us? I'm telling you right now that I believe God wants some of these guilt trips you've been on to just be permanently removed from your life. Yes. I want you to know that right now, God is telling you, forgive yourself because he's already forgiven us. You know, I want you to know something, that somehow the weirdness is that somehow we get strong enough to forgive others. And we get strong enough to even talk to people and tell them, oh, man, I'm telling you, what you've done isn't so bad. God can forgive you. God can forgive you. But oftentimes, we don't stretch that grace to ourselves. But I'm telling you that this is a time where God needs you to stretch his grace towards yourself. Well, isn't that selfish? No, because the Bible says that until we love ourselves, we can't love anybody. See, if you even have a heart to help other people, you've got to receive God's love. You've got to say, Lord, I am worthy. Oh, come on, that sounds cocky. So I don't care what you think. I ain't trying to meet your thoughts. I'm meeting God's thoughts. And God said that I'm precious. Amen? God said that I'm beloved. Amen? God said that I'm worth more than anything in this world. I'm precious enough that he went to the cross for me, and he's saying that to each and every one of you. Amen? I want you to know something, that when we really think about it, man, it is a tremendous thing to think that God said, my love is so great that I will send my son to redeem you. And I really believe that if you were the only one And you're not, because I have already. Amen. Praise God. I'm going. Now you ain't getting in my way. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I really want you to know that if you were the only one that said, Lord, please, oh, he'd come racing towards you with all the strength of heaven behind him to swoop you up and rescue you. Amen. The God of the appointed time. Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's nothing in me. God, this is all in you, Father. Lord, humanity by ourselves can do nothing, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, that every one of us are stepping in to appointed times. Every one of us are stepping into moments and visions, Father. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just see a refreshing coming upon marriages. But a refreshing can't come upon a marriage until a refreshing comes upon us as individuals. Lord, I thank you that right now, both men and women, God, I thank you that both boys and girls, children, Father, teens, young adults, middle-aged adults, more mature adults, Father, right now, I thank you that this is an appointed time where the wind of refreshing of the Holy Ghost is coming upon us, Father. Lord, you are establishing, you are blessing, you are redeeming, God, and Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Is there anyone here who wants to tell me today that they are either backslidden or not saved and they haven't been following the Lord, but today they just want to return into that place of salvation and assurance that the Lord is the Lord of their life and that they're in pursuit of him? Is there anyone here that says, Pastor, I need to pray today? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to look to the people on live stream, and I just believe that somebody is going to see this video or seeing this right now, and there's someone who needs to make that decision. So I'm just going to pray, and just pray this with me. If you're watching live stream, just pray right where you are, and God is with us right now, and he's touching you. Say, Lord, right now I come to you, and I ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. Save me now. Touch me and change me forever. From this day forward, I will live my life with your help and by your power. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm going to be right here to pray with anybody that needs prayer. Amen. But I'm telling you, from worship till now, I just see a refreshing from the Lord. I just see that the Lord has dealt with some things. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel like people are encouraged, refreshed, strengthened. And I thank God for what God has done for each and every one of you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Woo! God bless you. I want you to have a great week. Go and enjoy. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good.